So that's a neat thing. Good to have Jerry. He's here with us this morning. I just met him, and I wish more people, our regulars, were here. So, and I might have to say this next week, but thank you guys so much for your Christmas gift and all the nice cards and messages and thoughts. I appreciate that so very much. And so I'm looking forward to a new year. I hope you are too. And we're going to end up finishing our first chapter of John this morning. Don't turn there just yet, because it's actually going to be our third text this morning. And I want you, if you will, if you have your Bible this morning, to turn it to Genesis 28, first of all. Genesis 28. And we were in Genesis not long ago, but I want to revisit something because it kind of ties into where we are in John. And we're going to be in Genesis 28, as soon as I can find it here. And we're going to read some verses, first of all, starting in verse number 10. And you'll recognize all of this because we spent some time on it about 6 months ago. But let's start in verse number 10, Genesis 28. And Jacob went down from Beersheba and went toward Haran. And he lighted upon a certain place and tarried there all night, because the sun was set. And he took of the stones of that place and put them for his pillows and lay down in that place to sleep. And he dreamed, and behold, a ladder set up on the earth, and the top of it reached to heaven. And behold, the angels of God ascending and descending on it. And behold, the Lord stood above it and said, I am the Lord God of Abraham thy father, and the God of Isaac. The land whereon thou liest, to thee will I give it, and to thy seed. And thy seed shall be as the dust of the earth, and thou shalt spread abroad to the west, and to the east, and to the north, and to the south. Boy, what a promise that is. And in thee and in thy seed shall all families of the earth be blessed. And behold, I am with thee, and will keep thee in all places whither thou goest, and will bring thee again into this land. For I will not leave thee until I have done that which I have spoken to thee of. And Jacob awaked out of his sleep, and he said, surely the Lord is in this place, and I knew it not. And he was afraid and said, how dreadful is this place? This is none other but the house of God, and this is the gate of heaven. And Jacob rose up early in the morning and took the stone that he had put for his pillows and set it up for a pillar and poured oil upon the top of it. And he called the name of that place Bethel. But the name of that city was called Luz at the first. And Jacob vowed a vow, saying, if God will be with me and will keep me in this way that I go, and will give me bread to eat and raiment to put on, so that I come again to my father's house in peace, then shall the Lord be my God. And this stone which I have set for a pillar shall be God's house, and of all that thou shalt give me, I will surely give the tenth unto thee. Now, if you will remember, when we went through this part of Genesis, this was quite the turning point in Jacob's life. Jacob had left home somewhat probably disillusioned about what had taken place, by his own doing, by the way. If you'll remember with me, Jacob's name means the beguiler or the deceiver, the trickster, the planner, the schemer. That's what his name means. And so because of that and because of his nature to fool people and trick people, he left home in a hurry in fear of his life, because he deceived his brother Esau by deceiving his father Isaac. You remember that? And so he leaves home, and I'm not sure what his idea of God was at that point, but he come up on this night here, and his view of God is made much different, because God speaks to him. And he gives him the assurance by this dream, Jacob's ladder, that God is still with him. God, in essence, told Jacob, Jacob, you haven't done well up to this point. There's been a lot of stuff in your life that's wrong. But I made a promise to your family, and I'm going to stick to my promise, and I am with you. Now think about that for a minute. Jacob's assurance that God was with him and that the land that was promised to his grandpas was still going to be valid, and it was going to be carried through him in his family line. The assurance. Think of that right there. The assurance that God gave Jacob, who didn't deserve it. Now go over with me to Matthew chapter 3. Matthew chapter 3. And then in a moment, we'll end up in John 1. Matthew 3. And the reason I want to do this little section here is because it kind of reinforces what we're going to read in John 1 as we finish that chapter. So Matthew chapter 3, verse number 11. Matthew says, I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance, but he that cometh after me is mightier than I, whose shoes I am not worthy to bear. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. Now, if you'll remember with me before we finish reading, if you'll remember with me, when the child of God is first saved, the Holy Spirit takes residence in that person. Okay, the Holy Spirit is within us. He not always controls us because we don't allow him to, but he's within us. And so that's the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And also on the day of Pentecost, the Holy Spirit baptized the church. There was a baptism of the Holy Spirit, if you remember, in the book of Acts. And so John the Baptist is saying here in Matthew, he shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. Now, that's the final judgment of fire. That's not happened yet. And he continues in verse 12, whose fan is in his hand, and he will thoroughly purge his floor, and gather his wheat into the garner. But he will burn up the chaff with the unquenchable fire. Then cometh Jesus from Galilee to Jordan unto John to be baptized of him. But John forbade him, saying, I have need to be baptized of thee, and comest thou to me? And Jesus answering said unto him, Suffer it to be so now, for thus it becometh us to fulfill all righteousness. Then he suffered him, or he let him. And Jesus, when he was baptized, went up straightway out of the water, and lo, the heavens were opened unto him. Now look at this here. And he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lighting upon him. And lo, a voice from heaven saying, This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. So what I want you to see here in these verses here is, once again, assurance. As you know, the people were looking for a Messiah, they were looking for a king, they were looking for somebody to come along and lead them out of their woes, if you will. And Jesus comes onto the scene, and here he's being baptized by John the Baptist, and immediately following that baptism, the Bible says the Spirit of God descended like a dove and lighting upon him, and then there's the voice from heaven, This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. So what I want you to take from that is, as far as the assurance goes, there's an assurance back in Genesis 28 from God to Jacob that he would be with him, that he had not forsaken him, that he would be with him in the future. And then there's an assurance to John the Baptist that this is indeed the Son of God, and that God the Father has placed his full approval upon him. Now let's go to John 1. John chapter 1, and we're going to start in verse 29. This is our third week in this chapter, but there's been so much here, I just have not wanted to rush through it. So much good stuff, so much good encouraging words. And we're going to start in verse number 29. The next day, John seeth Jesus coming unto him and saith, Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. This is he of whom I said, after me cometh a man which is preferred before me, for he was before me. And I knew him not, but that he should be made manifest to Israel. Therefore am I come baptizing with water. Now, in essence, he's saying here that Jesus is, you know, we call John the Baptist, but it's really Jesus the Baptist or baptizer. John is simply making a point here that this man that's coming after me is preferred before me because John was humble about this, and he put himself way under Jesus. He put Jesus there on top, and he says, I'm going to come baptizing with water, but John the Baptist, will be baptizing with water, but you will be baptized by Jesus in another different way. Verse 32 says, and John bare record, saying, I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove, and it abode upon him. Now there's more assurance right there. There's more assurance right there. It's recorded in Matthew, and it's recorded in John. And he says in verse 33, and I knew him not, but he that sent me to baptize with water, the same said unto me, upon whom thou shalt see the Spirit descending and remaining on him, the same is he which baptizeth with the Holy Ghost. And I saw and bear record that this is the Son of God. Again the next day after John stood, and two of his disciples, and looking upon Jesus as he walked, he saith, Behold the Lamb of God. That's the second time we've seen that. Except this time he doesn't finish the sentence. The first time he said, Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. That's what Jesus does. And here it's just who Jesus is. Behold, look, the Lamb of God. And the two disciples heard him speak, and they followed Jesus. Then Jesus turned and saw them following, and saith unto them, What seek ye? They said unto him, Rabbi, which is to say, being interpreted, Master, where dwellest thou? He saith unto them, Come and see. They came and saw where he dwelt, and abode with him that day, for it was about the 10th hour. Now before we continue, I mentioned this last week, but this is a very important point. One of the greatest messages that our Lord has for us is this right here. Come and see. Come and see. Now we have that invitation when we're saved, right? We have that invitation when God's Holy Spirit comes into our heart. And we might be curious at the beginning. Before we're saved, we're not a Christian, and we might just be curious about this. But God's Holy Spirit comes to us and says, come and test this out. Come and check this out. But can I also say that that message is for the Christian as well from day to day. He gives us a message to come and check him out. Come and see. So you say, well, I've been saved 50 years. I've been saved 70 years or 80 years, 200 years, whatever. You know, probably none in here 200, but you know. So you've been saved a long time, and, you know, because we're human, we're not always doing what we need to do and be who we need to be, right? Amen? We're funny that way. So he's constantly giving us an invitation to come and see. So I've not been faithful with this part of my life, and I've not been faithful with this part of my life. You know what the Lord says to us? Well, come and check this out. Come and see. Do what you haven't been doing for the past 50 years as a child of God, and come and check this out and see how it is. Isn't that great? This forever beckoning to us, the God of second chances. Psalms 34 verse 8 says, Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in him. The further, the more that I read into the Word of God, the more of a message that I perceive that it's saying, Dwayne, come and check this out. Come and see that what you're reading is indeed what you need to be doing. Verse 40 continues, "One of the two which heard John speak and followed him was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. He first findeth his own brother Simon, and saith unto him, We have found the Messiah, which is being interpreted the Christ." Now notice here, okay, one of the things we saw last week about John the Baptist was, one of the things that he said is he put the Lord above himself and said, "I'm just a voice." Well, look at what Andrew does here. He's the same thing. He's a voice. John the Baptist said, "There's nothing special about me. In fact, I'm not even a disciple of Christ, and I'm not even worthy to be his servant, but I'm his servant. I'm not even worthy to change his sandals." That's what John the Baptist said. We saw that. And here, Andrew is being just like John the Baptist, and he's just being a voice, and he goes and finds his brother Simon. You know Simon, Peter. Peter, the hot-tempered, passionate, emotional guy that says things that he shouldn't say all the time. That's him. He goes and finds his brother Peter, Simon Peter, and says, "Look, we found the Messiah." And he brought him to Jesus, and when Jesus beheld him, he said, "Thou art Simon, the son of Jonah. Thou shalt be called Cephas," which is by interpretation a stone. And that's Jesus' way of saying, "Peter, you're going to be solid from here on out. You're going to be a rock. I'm going to establish you into something." Now, can you imagine? I throw my mind into these situations. These men knew Peter. They knew how hot-tempered he was and always saying things that he shouldn't say. And they hear Jesus say, "You're going to be the stable one. You're going to be a rock." And these guys got to be thinking, "Him? You don't know him very well." But this is the same Peter who in Acts chapter 2 preached the message and 3,000 souls were saved. This is that man, Simon Peter, Cephas, the rock. And verse 43 continues, "The day following, Jesus would go forth into Galilee and findeth Philip and saith unto him." Okay, so now we've got the apostle John. That's one of the first followers. Then we've got, see if I can name them. John, Andrew. Andrew finds Philip, and now Philip's going to find somebody. It says, "Now Philip was of Bethsaida, the city of Andrew and Peter." And verse 45 says, "Philip findeth Nathanael, and saith unto him, We have found him of whom Moses is in the law and the prophets did write, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph." Guess what? Philip, just a voice. My friends, that's all we're asked to be, is a voice. Aren't you glad of that? Linda, I don't have to go get a degree. I don't have to be some intelligent person. I don't have to be some good-looking, handsome man. I just need to have a voice. That's all that's required of me as a child of God. A voice to tell other people about my faith. A voice to point people to the Lord. And Nathanael saith unto him, in verse 46, "Can there any good thing come out of Nazareth?" Now, I like Nathanael. I think he had a sense of humor. There's only two men that we see in Jesus' ministry that were doubters. One of them's at the end. That's doubting Thomas. You remember him? And then the one at the beginning is Nathanael. And I really don't think Nathanael meant anything bad about this. It's like Brother Chris was saying 3 or 4 weeks ago on Wednesday night when we went through this about Nathanael. I think he was just kidding or making a lighthearted joke about this deal. Can any good thing come out of Nazareth? And Jesus saw Nathanael coming to him and saith of him, "Behold, an Israelite indeed, in whom is no guile." Nathanael saith unto him, "Whence knowest thou me?" Jesus answered and said unto him, "Before that Philip called thee, when thou wast under the fig tree, I saw thee." Nathanael answered and saith unto him, "Rabbi, thou art the Son of God. Thou art the King of Israel." So even though Nathanael had this lighthearted comment about, can any good thing come out of Nazareth? He says here in verse 49, yes, a good thing can come out of Nazareth, because you are Rabbi. Jesus, you are the Son of God and the King of Israel, and you came out of Nazareth. In verse 50, Jesus answered and said unto him, because I said unto thee, I saw thee under the fig tree, believest thou? Thou shalt see greater things than these. And he saith unto him, verily, verily, I say unto you, hereafter you shall see heaven open, and the angels of God ascending and descending upon the Son of Man. Now, we've just got a few minutes, so are you still with me? Are you alert? You awake? I want you to notice something. This is so neat. In verse 47, it says, Jesus saw Nathanael coming to him and saith of him, behold, an Israelite indeed, in whom is no what? Guile. That means deceit, trickery, deception. Jesus sees Nathanael, and in essence, here's what he's saying. Now, mind you, all of these men would know the Old Testament story of Jacob's ladder, okay? They would know that. They knew the Old Testament. They knew the law. That was their claim to fame, is knowing all the rules of the Old Testament. Jesus looks at Nathanael, and he says, you are a true Israelite in whom there is no deception. There's no trickery in you. Jesus saw right to who he was. Now, remember when we opened up in Genesis 28, and I asked you to remember what Jacob's name meant? The beguiler, the deceiver, the tricky one. And it's like this right here. You've got, in Jacob's time, the illustration of the ladder and the angels of God ascending and descending upon that ladder, giving Jacob the assurance that God will always be with him. And then in Matthew, we saw the Spirit of God ascending down upon the Son of God as John baptized him, giving them the assurance that he was the Son of God. And it's almost as if Jesus looks at Nathanael and he says, you're a true Israelite, and in you there is no Jacob. There is no beguiler. There is no deception. I know who you are, Nathanael. And you're a true believer. You're the real deal. And then he says in verse number 50, thou shalt see greater things than these. Well, what are those greater things? Well, he tells us, I say unto you in verse 51, you shall see heavens open and the angel of God ascending and descending upon the Son of Man. John chapter 1 is composed of 51 verses written by the Apostle John to tell us one thing, that Jesus Christ is all we need, period. Remember, we looked at, I believe it was verse 20-something. Jesus was full of grace and truth, and that word full means it was so full you couldn't put anything else in it. Completely full. You couldn't stuff anything else in it. Jesus is all we need. And the illustration of the angels of God descending upon Jacob's ladder, and then the illustration of the Spirit of God ascending down upon Jesus Christ, the Son of Man, ascending and descending, is the same assurance that God is with him. And if Dwayne or Deborah or Kevin or whoever, if you want to satisfy God the Father, then you got to do it through God the Son. So see, Jesus in the New Testament is the ladder that Jacob dreamed about in the Old Testament. The only difference is, we don't have to climb the ladder. We just have to trust it. Remember, in the book of John, the word believe is mentioned 100 times. Believe is mentioned 100 times. And then in the other three Gospels combined, it's only mentioned 40 times. You see, John's entire emphasis everything that he says and everything that records that he records in the book of John is to get me to believe and to get you to believe, not the kind of belief that we talked about here with me looking at this chair saying, well, I think that will hold me up because the legs look pretty sturdy and cushions out, it looks pretty sturdy. I believe that that chair will hold me up. No, that's not the kind of belief that John talks about. The kind of belief that he talks about. Remember we said that this is an amazing fact that in the Bible, the word believe is always followed up by what? A preposition. Believe in. Believe on. Believe upon. So it's not enough for me to say, it looks pretty good. I think that'll hold me up. No, what he wants us to do is to sit it. Job's over, go find something else to do. Do we trust God that He is going to take care of the situation? That's what John's doing. You could go through every considering going through the entire book of John. I might have a mind then, but you could go through everything that John says, every miracle that he tells us about. He doesn't really have parables. He's only got one thing that he calls a parable, and it's not like the other. But he follows up with